Support for this program is provided by Chevron, the human energy company.
Hey, this is Politico Energy. I'm Josh Siegel. President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump are squaring off tonight in their first debate of the 2024 election cycle, and we want to get you prepared. If energy does come up, which we think it will, we expect Trump specifically to make some energy claims attacking Biden and likely exaggerating his own achievements, as he has on the campaign trail. And so today's episode is all about what to expect from Trump and how much of those energy claims are true. Politico's Ben LaFave and I did our homework, and we put you in the know. It's Thursday, June 27th.
In order to prepare for tonight's debate, I looked at Trump's campaign website. If you go to the campaign site, Agenda 47, it's basically a list of his policy proposals. One of the things we see on there is Trump claiming that America was, quote unquote, energy independent under his presidency, and kind of the insinuation that things have gone off the rails since then. This isn't quite true. U.S. oil and gas production had been rising since the late 2000s. I think it was like 2006 might be the date where we really start seeing the shale revolution gain traction and oil and gas production head up. And so oil production in the U.S. has been went up before Trump's presidency, went up during his presidency, dipped during the pandemic, and then continued to rise under the Biden administration. So it also depends on how you define energy independent. There's no real such thing, but it's not true that U.S. energy production only went up during the Trump administration and, like, you know, hasn't done so well since.
Right. And another big theme we see with Trump is he's really obviously focused on inflation that's occurred under Biden's administration. You know, this coincided with Biden being president. So it's kind of a big part of that, of course, is blaming Biden's energy policies for higher energy prices in particular. So what is Trump saying there, and kind of what are the facts show on that one?
Trump is right in that energy prices have been a huge part of the inflation story. I mean, gasoline prices have been one of the main drivers of the inflation that's just caused, you know, a lot of pain in average Americans' pocketbooks and cause a lot of huge political headache for President Biden. But he's wrong in that the steps that the Biden administration has taken on energy policy has instantly translated into higher prices at the pump. The biggest reason that gasoline prices rose under the Biden administration was because during the pandemic, which started under President Trump's administration, people just stopped driving. They stopped taking planes. They stopped using fuel. And that, if people recall, caused at one point or helped cause the price of oil to go briefly negative. When that happens, oil companies said, why are we still producing this much if we can barely give it away? Or if we're producing fuel that no one's buying, they took their drills off the scene. And then, you know, as the economy started bouncing back, all of a sudden you have fewer drills out there to produce the oil that people are now demanding. So that kind of catch-up game caused a lot of price spikes. You know, that took a long time to work out. Companies were kind of still wary of putting too many oil drills out there if the demand wasn't going to stick around. So that was a big factor in gasoline prices rising. And then the other big factor is Russia invaded Ukraine and Europe decided we don't want to buy Russian oil anymore. So that was another big shock to the global oil market, which again caused prices to increase and stay high. We've had other things since then. You know, refineries have gone down. We had that Philadelphia refinery blow up, go out of existence. And that was one of the largest refineries in the East Coast area. So fuel prices have been a major cause of inflation, but for reasons that you cannot directly tie to the White House.
And a couple of other things we looked at as part of this story, I think the theme of electric vehicles, right? We know that Trump is really focused on electric vehicles. I think he's tried to bring that kind of into the culture war somewhat and, you know, make it seem like a car for Democrats. And he's really hit Biden policies as, quote, being an EV mandate. So what's kind of the truth on that one? I mean, we know there's been emission limits from the EPA. It seems like that's what he's alluding to, but there's not a direct mandate for U.S. consumers to buy EVs, right?
Yeah. And there's, I mean, as you reported, it's not even that the emission mandate is not tied to EVs directly, right? I mean, it's like auto companies can come out with different types of cars to meet the new emission standards, correct?
Yeah. No, exactly. Right. I mean, so the EPA put out these emission standards. It is their most aggressive, the Biden administration's most aggressive climate rule. I think that's fair, just given transportation is our biggest source of
pollution still of any sector. So it's an ambitious rule. It essentially requires emission standards that would lead to EPA projects 68% of new cars or light trucks sold in 2032 to be electric, which is even beyond Biden's goal of 50% EV sales by the end of the decade, which was something he announced early on in his presidency. But the agency says that in meeting those standards, it's not just electric vehicles. And this was they shifted towards the automakers on this one, where they're saying, you know, hybrids we know are gaining, and there's been growing sales in hybrids in recent months, so that they can comply with this as well as just more efficient conventional engines. So they're allowing a mix of cars. And I think it's important to note that the auto industry trade groups have come out in support of these standards. So I do think there's a little bit of exaggeration on Trump's part as far as what Biden has actually done in this space.
And Josh, are you expecting Trump to talk about wind turbines at all?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's been another one, of course. That dates back to his last campaign and something he hit even throughout his presidency, even backed up with policies in certain circumstances. He's had this long obsession hitting back at wind, you know, dating back to one of his golf courses in Scotland, you know, where he's concerned about hampering views there with a wind farm that was planned there. So, yeah, I do think that's a line we're probably going to hear a lot about. It's a line he's used. He's now talking about how unproven claims around offshore turbines in particular being responsible for whale deaths, which we know the wind industry has really pushed back against, and, you know, saying there's really not a link there at this point. Bird deaths is another one that we've seen Trump really talk about. And he's increasingly really hitting wind for reliability issues, something he's also talking about in the EV context of where, you know, is your battery going to last you long enough to get where you need to go? So, you know, I think there's a tie with those two. But I'd say wind and EVs, when it comes to like transitional technologies, those are the ones that have been his focus. And I think we'll continue to see that.
So, yeah. So, again, we'll be looking at, you know, this debate coming up tonight, and we'll see where Trump goes with some of these claims.
Also, the Energy Department's deputy secretary is defending the pace at which the agency is getting federal funding out the door. During a House Science Committee hearing Wednesday, David Turk said DOE has launched, quote, 100% of the funding included in the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law and Inflation Reduction Act. But he added that those laws include multi-year programs that receive funding from several sources, and that it's going to take several years to fully spend the money. That's it for Politico Energy. For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our free newsletter, Power Switch, and subscribe to Politico Pro to read our morning energy newsletter. Our producer is Nirma Malaikal. I'm Josh Siegel. Thanks for listening, and see you back here tomorrow.
Support for this program is provided by Chevron, who is innovating to help responsibly meet rising energy demand across their U.S. operations, like at their Gulf of Mexico facilities, which are some of the world's lowest carbon intensity operations, helping supply energy that's affordable, reliable, and ever cleaner. That's energy in progress. Learn more at chevron.com/meetingdemand.